That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
All right, we're doing it today. We are going to tackle the topic that your local parenting group, your mom's play group, is not going to touch with a 10-foot pool noodle. We are going to wade into the cultural kiddie pool of parenting philosophies today and focus on two things: gentle parenting versus biblical parenting. We got to talk about this because it is definitely coming up a lot in our conversations, in our churches. So is this just a trend? Or is it a surrender to the spirit of the age? And what about biblical parenting? Should we think of it like outdated discipline? Or is it really the antidote to a culture that's completely lost our mind? And if we're getting real about this, it's not just about timeouts and memory verses and how we decide to discipline. It's actually what's shaping our families and our future. It's about our worldview and the role of truth in our lives and why the way that we raise our kids is a battleground. It really is a battleground. And if you're a parent or a grandparent or a human being living in the current culture, you've probably heard about gentle parenting because it's everywhere. It's on social media, it's in the parenting books, and even in our Christian circles. On the surface, gentle parenting, that kind of sounds good, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to be gentle with their children? But as Christians, we've got to ask, is gentle parenting truly biblical? And if not, what does Scripture teach us about parenting and discipline? One of my professors, Dr. John Street, he was talking to us about this a few weeks ago, and he said this profound statement that really got me thinking about this. He said, gentle parenting believes the culture over Scripture. And all of this started with a book called Children Are Wet Cement that was released in the mid-1990s. And with this book, you get kind of a BOGO, a buy one, get one free, on ideology. You get the smush together of impressionistic child psychology plus the self-esteem movement. And let me just save you some time. I'll summarize the driving point. Basically, this book is saying that we don't want to leave marks on our kids. We don't want to introduce trauma into our kids' lives because then they'll be ruined and it'll be all our fault and they'll be criminals and it'll all fall on us. So what is gentle parenting at its core? Just in case you don't know, maybe you haven't heard of it. So let me just catch you up to speed. This is just a response to what a lot of people see as the harshness, the perceived harshness of traditional parenting. Gentle parenting focuses on validating your child's feelings and avoiding punishment and helping your kids regulate their emotions. By the way, parents, adults, how's that going for you? Are you able to regulate your emotions? Can we regulate emotions? These are all questions we've got to ask ourselves. Gentle parenting says that children are essentially good inside. Your theological red flag should be going up right now at that statement. And that when kids have challenging behavior, aka they're being disobedient, this is usually a result of external factors or that their needs are unmet, not a willful disobedience or a practice of sin. For example, if your kid lies about knocking down a tower of blocks that his brother or sister was building, the gentle parenting approach says, you might say to your kid, well, if someone, not you, but someone did push down a tower, I'd understand because having a brother is hard. Sharing is hard. Again, theological red flags should be popping up in your mind like crazy right now. Now, there's some good things about gentle parenting. Gentle parenting encourages parents to be patient and to listen and to avoid harshness when possible, but there's some serious problems, especially from a biblical perspective. Instead of punishment, gentle parenting focuses on guidance and positive reinforcement and open communication. So parents will acknowledge how they perceive their children to be feeling. They might say something like, I see you're upset. Let's talk about what you're feeling and find a better way to express it, rather than sending the child to time out or raising their voice or any other kind of discipline. And advocates of gentle parenting believe that this approach builds confidence and independence and emotional intelligence. Ding, ding, ding. Can our emotions be intelligent? Again, ask yourself these questions. The biggest problem with gentle parenting is its view of human nature. That's what you should be catching with your theological red pen, because gentle parenting operates on the assumption that children are basically good inside. But scripture tells us something very different. Mark 7, 21 through 23, Jesus himself says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. And then Paul, he echoes this in Romans 7, 18, when he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. In other words, we're not good inside. We're born with a sinful nature, and that includes our children. And if you've ever watched your children for more than 5 seconds, you will see their sinful nature arise. Another problem with gentle parenting is that it rejects rewards and punishment, seeing them as harmful. But the Bible actually uses both rewards and punishments as vital tools for teaching and discipline. Proverbs 13, 24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And of course, we all know Hebrews 12 that talks about discipline. It says over and over, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For listen to this, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So we can learn from the Bible that discipline, it's a sign of love, not hate. So when we withhold discipline from our children, we are withholding part of our love from them. So what does the Bible actually teach about parenting and discipline? Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So two things we see here. First, we're not supposed to exasperate our children. So the gentle parenting folks, they got this part right. We're not supposed to be harsh or unreasonable. But the second thing we learn from this one verse of scripture is that we're supposed to discipline and instruct our kids in the way of the Lord. That's actually paired together. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, because discipline and instruction, those are just two sides of the same coin. Instruction is about teaching our children what's right and wrong, and discipline is about correcting them when they do wrong. One guy I heard said it like this, we give them a little pain in the moment in order to spare them from the big pain in life. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So again, we see discipline, it's not just about punishment, and that's really not the point. The punishment is not the point. It's about training our children to love what is good and hate what is evil. And you know what? God has given us as parents the primary responsibility for raising our children. This is our sphere of authority. So that's not the job of the school that your kid goes to, or the church that your family attends, or the government that you are subject to. This is our job as parents. And part of that job is to discipline our children when they sin, just as God disciplines us as his children. And that's an important piece of the puzzle, but that we need to unpack a little bit more, which we'll do in the second half of the show today. But for the next couple of minutes, I want to drill down just a little bit more about the necessity of discipline, because let's be honest, discipline is hard. It's easier to give in to your kids, to avoid the conflict, or to rationalize or justify your kids' missteps. But the Bible is so clear. Loving discipline is essential for their good and God's glory. My husband and I would share with our sons often when they were younger and we were still in the thick of the parenting process that part of our job was to train them what discipline looks like so that when they were out from under our quote unquote umbrella of authority, that they would know how to obey God. And this is the heart of the issue because discipline does protect and guide. That's why God has it in place. Just as a shepherd uses his staff to guide his sheep away from danger, and we see those words in scripture so many times, his rod and his staff. This is where discipline helps us to see that our actions have consequences and that there's actually safety in doing things God's way. Hebrews 12 again. We're being trained for righteousness through discipline, and that's what we're doing for our children. Like I said, with our kids, when you're out from under our umbrella of authority, we want you to know how God's system works. Hebrews 12:11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." So discipline is an investment in our kids' future character and their future relationship with God. Now, what about God's discipline? How does he discipline us? This is the model that we're called to follow. This is where God calls us as parents to obedience when it would be a whole lot easier, we think, in the short term to just let things slide. Well, we're going to talk about that after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. She's going to continue this conversation about parenting and discipline and the truth behind what's actually shaping our families. This is a vital conversation. But right now, if you found yourself nodding along with the things that you're hearing from Libby today or ever, if you caught yourself thinking, man, this is exactly what I needed to hear. I do that every week when I listen to Libby. And I'm not a woman, but she's got a way of putting things in a certain perspective that other people can't. And you're definitely not alone if you're thinking that. And we've got something that can take you even further down this same road that Libby's taking us down. It's Fortis Plus. It's our app that's built specifically for people who are serious about engaging their minds and shaping their lives with biblical truth. There's hundreds of hours of content already there on Fortis Plus, and we're adding more to it every day. So whether you're struggling with anxiety or identity, you want some clarity on your marriage, in your parenting, whatever it is, it's all right there on demand for free, always. You're not going to hit a paywall. You're not going to be asked for your credit card. You're not going to get a 7-day trial and then be charged. None of that stuff. None of that foolishness. It's free today. It's free tomorrow. It's free forever. It's Fortis Plus. You can find it and download it right now, wherever your app store is. Just go to the app store on your phone, whichever one that you download apps from, and search for Fortis Plus. You're going to find it absolutely free, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And if you're someone who believes in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute, if you believe in what Libby is doing with The Better Way and it's making a real difference in your life and in your family, I want to invite you to be a part of it. Be a part of something bigger than just listening. Because when you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, look, you're not just making a donation. You are becoming a true, genuine partner. And that means you're helping us to reach more homes, more families, and more people who are hungry for this same type of content. So we would be honored if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, only though if you're already giving to your local church. Because if you're not, because if that area of your life is not where you need it or want it to be at the moment, we want you to get that cleaned up, because that's your first priority in your life, is giving to your local church. That comes first. And then when you get that taken care of and you have some margin where you might be able to join us, then we want you to start praying about joining us. You can find out all the information right now at fortisinstitute.org. Fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Libby Glossett now. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossett.
Well, welcome back from the break. And thank you, Jimmy, so much for all the resources that you give us. We are so appreciate that. Y'all, if you didn't know this, Jimmy is the glue that holds us all together here at Fortis. We don't know what we'd do without him. So we appreciate you, Jimmy. And thanks for coming back for the second half of the show today, where we're talking about discipline about gentle parenting versus biblical parenting. And we talked a lot about that in the first half, the first segment. What I want to talk about now is the pattern of discipline that God sets for us, because that's what we need to follow. Now, I had a young lady sitting across from me with young children a few years ago in the counseling room, and she looked me square in the eye and she said, "I'm not going to discipline my children because God doesn't discipline his children. He just loves us." And I looked her square in the eye and said, "I don't think you've read the Old Testament or the New Testament for that matter, because we see such a pattern of God disciplining his children in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It really begins with the Israelites. And if you just look back into Israel's history, you can see the pattern of discipline that God gives is beautifully consistent. Now, the Israelites, they're in their own pattern. They sin, then there's judgment, then they cry out for mercy, and then God brings restoration. We see that in the book of Exodus, in the wilderness years, where the Israelites are complaining. They wish they could go back to slavery, and then they're caught worshiping the golden calf in Exodus 32, and then God's judgment, broken tablets, plague. And yet, God's kindness comes in Exodus 32:14. God also gives such a framework of the purpose that he has for blessings and curses. Deuteronomy 30:19-20, he says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." God's saying, hey, there's blessings for you if you obey, and there's curses, there's consequences if you disobey. And this, my friends, is what we are to be teaching our children. We see this cycle continue for the Israelites. They do evil. There's consequences. God gives them over to enemy hands. They get taken into captivity by the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and they have to stay there for a little while and live through the consequences, because God is trying to help them to see that repentance and obedience is so precious to him, and it's good for them. So over and over, God uses this pattern through the Old Testament. And we see that this is God's just judgment. It's the way that God must respond to disobedience and sin, but it's also his gracious compassion. God's discipline in their lives and in our lives, it's real, it's purposeful. And his main purpose is it's redemptive. It's to call us back to better, to deeper relationship with him. Now, when we move into the New Testament, into the New Covenant, this pattern just continues. Lots of people like to say that the God of the Old Testament was mean and the God of the New Testament is nice, but that's not true. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. We've talked about Hebrews 12 a little bit, and this is direct teaching that's adapted from the Proverbs, which is Old Testament, right? So Old Testament being brought into the New Testament. We talked about verse 5, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." Then we talked about verses 6 and 10 and 11, "Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he chastens us for our good." Like earthly fathers, but definitely and infinitely wiser and more loving. We even see there's discipline in Paul's letters to the churches. So for example, 1 Corinthians, there's discipline in the local church. Paul is saying, you guys are doing this all wrong. You are partaking in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. All the things that God is correcting, you're loving incorrectly, you are worshiping incorrectly, and Paul is disciplining and correcting them for their good and God's glory. And meanwhile, Paul also gives the interpretation in verse 32, chapter 11, God is judging those in the church so they may not be condemned with the world. This is where God's love intersects with his discipline. Did y'all catch that? That is quite a profound statement from our great God. Let me read you the actual scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, "But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Discipline keeps us from judgment, and that's grace. And when we discipline like God does, when we discipline our children according to the model that God has set before us, that keeps them from judgment, and that's grace on our children. Don't forget what many of the New Testament writers say, even about trials that we can connect to God allowing things in our lives as disciplinary action. 1 Peter, James, when you meet trials, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, that trials test our faith so that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor. So, y'all, God's discipline is not about punishing us. It's about purifying us. So how are we supposed to respond? First, we are going to model for our kids how we respond to God's discipline. This is important because if God disciplines his children, and if we're his through faith in Jesus, then we know that discipline's part of the package. So we have to respond in a way that shows our children the way that they should respond to our discipline. We've talked about Hebrews 12. We're not supposed to resist God's discipline. We know it's painful in the moment, but that it has a purpose, that it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's not that we like it or we want it, but we know it's good. It's like pruning a tree. It hurts, but it brings fruit. Now, here's the important part. We have to be quick to repent. We're modeling this for our children. Quick to repent. So for our boys, it was first-time obedience and be quick to repent. Like when David sinned with Bathsheba, he didn't hide. In Psalm 51:17, he says, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And that's the heart of repentance. Another thing that we can show and model for our children as they are walking through processes of discipline is that there's a connection of discipline to being in union with other believers. So we see in Matthew 18, Jesus lays out a pattern of loving correction. And in Galatians 6:1, Paul says, "If anyone's caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Gentleness. Church discipline, when done biblically, it's always restorative. It's about bringing people back, not pushing them out. And that should be the heart behind our discipline of our children, that we are looking to either point them to Christ, bring them into relationship with God, bring them to a place where God can regenerate their hearts and bring them into saving faith, or helping them to be restored to right relationship with our great God. Now, the last thing is that Romans 6:14 tells us that we're not under law, but under grace. So discipline's not a sign that God has abandoned us. It's actually proof that we're his. So we need to exemplify that for our children as well and express that to them when we are following God's pattern of discipline. It's not that we don't love them. It's not that we hate them or we're abandoning them or we're disappointed in them. It's actually proof that they are our kids. And guess what? Jesus modeled this so beautifully on the cross. He endured the ultimate discipline, if you will. He endured the wrath of God for all sin of all believers for all time, not because of his sin, but because of ours. And because of what he did, we can endure our own discipline that God is allowing in our lives. We can point our children to what Christ did, how he faithfully and voluntarily responded to God's command, God's plan for the redemption of humanity. And we can know that we can endure discipline knowing that it's not condemnation, it's consequences, and it's also refining us. True or false? Discipline is unloving. Well, we learned, actually, the truth is neglecting to discipline our children is unloving. Kids, they connect a lack of discipline to a lack of care. False. Discipline is about control. Truth. True biblical discipline is about training. It's not about controlling. It's about preparing our kids to walk in wisdom and obedience to God. False. Discipline damages the relationship. Remember the wet cement book from the beginning? Discipline does not damage the relationship. It actually strengthens trust. I know my sons have voiced that to us now that they are adults. They couldn't quite understand it when they were children, but now they understand as adults. And in their relationship with God, it comes in mighty handy to know what God's pattern is. So let's get practical for just a minute. Ultimately, every act of discipline is an opportunity to share the gospel with our kids. We've got to point them to their need for grace and forgiveness and a savior who loves them. We got to point them to Jesus. And if we're constantly padding and giving excuses, they'll never come to the point where they recognize their need for a savior. So that's part of the discipline process too. So remember, biblical discipline isn't about harshness or fear. It's about loving your children enough to train and correct and guide them in the way they should go. It's about reflecting the heart of our Heavenly Father because He disciplines those He loves so that we might share in His holiness. And now that you know the better way to think about parenting and discipline God's way, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.